Hi, everyone. I don't think everyone knows me. Hey, I've been kind of, I'm from Canada. Okay. So I heard actually there's another mommy preaching tonight in Busan. Grace is actually preaching tonight. She's got a beautiful daughter and one on the way. She's like 8 months pregnant and she's preaching tonight, you know. So you guys are going to get a word from two very anointed mommies tonight. So if you're ready for a powerful night, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
Okay. So my daughter's name has been kind of thrown out there a lot today, right? I am Olivia's mother, and I sincerely apologize for showing up without her. I'm very sorry. It's like everyone wants an apology whenever I show up without her, right? She turned 14 months today. She's 14 months. She's walking really well. She's strong, very strong. And I've had many people come up to me and say, oh, Pastor Anita, she's so cute. You must just look at her all day. And I'm like, no. Like, I love her to pieces. I think she's kind of cute, you know? And I love her and I love being a mom, but it's been very different. My life has changed completely. My lifestyle has changed. My needs, my priorities, everything has changed. And, oh man, the emotional ups and downs, just like, if there are two lessons that I've learned being a first-time mom, it's one, I need Jesus. Two, I need Jesus. No, two, that the battle against the flesh is real. It is so real. Think about it. You're with a baby all day, 24/7. She cannot talk, but she has needs and she has wants. It's like playing Pictionary 24/7 with a crying baby. It's like, mama? No. Diaper? No. You're tired? No. You want mama? No, no, no. It's just like, help me, Lord. What do I do? And it just tests your patience. And you know, a lot of times people say marriage sanctifies you, right? We all laugh it off. You're like, ha, ha, ha. It does, okay? But being a parent, it's a whole new level of sanctification, a whole new level of dying to yourself, a whole new level of being selfless and patient and loving and kind and joyous, you know? And it's not that fake joy that, you know, Pastor Susie was talking about, you know? And it's been interesting, okay? And let me just confess, I've had so many battles. I've had my own fair share of episodes in the flesh where literally I'm happy, I'm fine. And then the next moment I'm breaking down in tears, like, my life is over. I have no life, you know? And then I'm okay again, right? And then I look at my husband and I'm just like throwing a temper tantrum at him. Not Olivia. I am throwing the temper tantrum, right? And even at Olivia, I know little baby Olivia, she's just a baby, you know, but I just get so short with her and like, plain belligerence. Okay. Like I'm telling you, my husband, John, he comes home from work. He's like, honey, I'm home. I'm in the room. I'm like, moo. I'm a moo-moo cow, moo, you know? Surprise! Johnny, so funny, Johnny. Okay, and he'll just be like, Honey Neufeld. Like, he calls me Honey, right? He's like, Honey Neufeld, do not talk about my wife like that. And I'll just look at him and I'll say, moo. You know, it's just so childish and so immature. And like, I'm thinking over and over again, what is wrong with me? I'm a pastor. What is wrong with me? Why am I thinking these thoughts? What am I doing? Why am I so mean? You know, and I'm just thinking over and over, I have to put my life together. I need to chongshin chareo. I should have my quiet times. I need to pray. But I don't want to. Yeah, I'm a pastor, you know, and just this battle in the flesh, it's just been so real. And I know not everyone's a mom here. And you guys don't all have the same experience as me, but we've all had our fair share of struggles with the flesh, right? I mean, let's be honest, right? And so, about 5-6 months ago, I felt led to meditate on the passage that I'm going to preach on. So let's just turn there first. Let's turn to Galatians 5. Galatians 5, verses 16 to 23. I will take the even number of verses, and you can take the odd, and we'll alternate. Galatians 5, verses 16 to 23. Verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Amen. So initially when I turned to this passage, like I turned to it because I wanted to memorize it, you know, kind of keep it as my arsenal. Anytime I'm getting impatient, I'm like, the fruit of the Spirit is patience. It's love, joy, peace, patience. I wanted to memorize it just so that I can kind of like have it around for any time I'm like kind of acting up, throwing in another tantrum in the flesh, right? But I was honestly terrified when the Lord started highlighting, you know, the fruit of the Spirit to me. Because have you heard people say, you know, when you ask for patience, you're actually not asking for patience. You're asking God for more opportunities to be patient. And I'm thinking, wow, that's so true. But nothing about that statement makes you want to ask for patience, right? I mean, who wants more opportunities to be patient? I was just thinking, like, God, if I ask for patience, because I know I lack in patience with my daughter right now, if I ask, are you going to divinely like ordain colic on her and all of a sudden she's going to be this colicky baby just so I can have an opportunity to grow in my patience? You know, for those who don't know what colic is, it's when a baby will cry for 3 hours a day, 3 days a week, for 3 or more weeks straight. Can you imagine? That's a lot of crying. And that's a lot of opportunity to be patient, right? But I was just terrified. I was like, God, I don't want that. I don't want that. I don't want that. And the more I read this passage, I realized actually God wasn't directing me to the fruit of the Spirit as much as he was directing me to his Spirit. It's the Spirit's fruit. It's the fruit of the Spirit, which can also be read the Spirit's fruit. So if you want the fruit, you got to have the Spirit. If you want more of the fruit, you actually need more of the Spirit. You want more of the fruit, you got to ask for more of the Spirit, not just the fruit, because the fruit is a byproduct. Amen. And you know what? You can't fake the real thing, like Pastor Susie said. You can be like, yeah, I'm excited, you know? And like for me, I'm, by the anointing of God, I can act really bubbly when I'm up here. I'm not faking it. It's genuine, okay? But naturally, I'm more melancholy. And people who don't know me well to see me up here, and they're like, oh, she's so sanguine. You know, I am not sanguine at all. But for people like me, I can't fake those emotions of joy. I just can't. Like, if I'm going to shut down, I have no apologies. I shut down, you know? But you can't fake the fruit of the Spirit. Because if it's the Spirit's fruit, It's supernatural. You can't say, oh, I'm going to choose to love. Oh, I'm going to love. I'll be joyful. I'll be joyful. Oh, you're having an anxiety attack, but I'm going to have peace. The Bible says I have to have peace. You can fake it all you want, but there's no transformation. You see, when you try to go for the spirit, for the fruit, all it is behavioral management, behavioral correction. But when you go for the spirit, the fruit is supernatural and there's transformation within you. There's a big difference between a person who lives by the spirit and a person who strives to live the Christian life. Okay. For example, if a friend deeply wrongs you, a person apart from the spirit will at best be able to be self-controlled enough not to, you know, I don't know, like murder. I don't think anyone really thinks that, but you would have enough self-control not to do something that would get you into prison, right? But a person who walks by the Spirit, who has the fruit of the Spirit, who is filled with the Spirit of God, supernaturally has the ability to forgive that friend. Not just forgive, but to love the friend and to bless that friend. That's supernatural. You can't fake that. You can't fake that. There is a big difference. And tonight, I feel like God is really calling us to pursue a spirit. Okay, we're going to go hard at pursuing the Holy Spirit, but it's not going to be hard. It's not going to be difficult, okay? Like Rona was saying, it's supposed to be easy, okay? And it says in 2 Corinthians 3:17, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And tonight I feel very strongly, not only is God wanting to break through by his spirit, but he wants to release freedom for you and I. Amen. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're about to be set free. I almost want to say on the count of three, everyone yell freedom. Yeah. Okay. On the count of three, one, two, three. Wow, the Spirit is here. You can't fake that. That's the anointing, right? The title of my message tonight is Freedom by the Spirit. Freedom by the Spirit, okay? There's so much that we can unpack from this passage, but I just want to focus on verses 16 to 18. Okay, let's look at the verse again, and I'll read it again. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. In this passage, the Apostle Paul guarantees freedom from two things. Two things for the believer who chooses to walk by the Spirit. And the first one is freedom from the desires of the flesh. Okay. Tonight, I'm just preaching a 2-point sermon. Okay. But I really want us to get this in the Spirit. Okay. If we walk by the Spirit, we will experience freedom from the desires of the flesh. First, before I go on, I want to define what it means to walk by the Spirit and what the Apostle Paul means here by the desires of the flesh, okay? To walk by the Spirit is twofold. It means first to be led by the Spirit, but then it also means to be empowered by the Spirit. You have to have both in order to walk by the Spirit. To be led by the Spirit is to seek him for direction, to say, God, what decision should I make? Which direction should I take? And to be empowered by the Spirit is to move forward with those decisions under the grace and power of the Holy Spirit. We need both. But so many of us, some of us are good at asking the Holy Spirit. Some of us, we don't. But some of us, we ask the Holy Spirit for a direction, right? And then once he speaks to us, he says, I'm directing you this way. And he gives you all these visions and confirmations, and you start moving upon it. But somewhere along the way, you forget to invite the Holy Spirit into that process. And you start walking on your own efforts and your own willpower. And you feel trapped by the very call that God has placed on your life. For example, for those who have made 10-year commitments, God, you led me to make this commitment. What the heck? I'm still single. I'm still broke. There's nothing going on in my life. Peace out. I'm out of here. Maybe I heard wrong. A lot of us will second guess ourselves if we fail to walk continuously by the Spirit and His power. For another example, some of us have been called to Korea. And in the beginning, God was speaking to you with visions and dreams, and people were confirming, you're supposed to go to Korea. I'm putting this calling on your life. You're going to do these things. I'm calling you to greatness. And you go. You're really excited in the beginning, and then the going gets tough. And then you start despising that calling even. And you begin to wonder, God, I feel so stuck. God, I'm so unhappy. Why did you call me to Korea? So I can die? It's kind of like the Israelites, right? In the desert. Yeah, you're all laughing, but I mean, we've all been through it, right? If you look at verse 16, the Apostle Paul says, walk by the Spirit. Present tense. Continue to walk by the Spirit. You can't just invite the Holy Spirit once and then that's fine. That's enough of the Holy Spirit in my life. You have to continuously walk by the Spirit. The life we live in Christ, we live by the Spirit. It begins with the Spirit and needs to continue by the Spirit. Amen? Amen. So then what does it mean when he refers to the desires of the flesh? The desires of the flesh don't refer to the needs of the soul. Okay? This refers to sinful nature. Pastor Christian preached a message on this before, but we all have different signature sins. We have different weaknesses in the flesh that we will gravitate towards when we're not walking with the Lord. Because we have sinful nature in us. Okay? It's different sin patterns that we will gravitate towards when we are walking apart from the Spirit. And the Apostle Paul names some of them in verses 19 to 21. Sexual immorality, impurity, jealousy, envy, fits of anger. Parenting, right? And other examples are like, you know, adultery, pornography, gluttony, envy, like manipulation, lying. These are all things of the sinful nature that we will gravitate towards when we're not walking by the Spirit. And we all agree that we all have different desires of the flesh that we struggle with, right? And I want to make that clear, actually, before I move on, is that no matter who you are, it says in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God without exception, whether you've been a Christian all your life, whether you're from a family, like generations of Christians, whether you're a leader or a pastor, without exception, we all fall short of the glory of God. And so when you struggle with the desires of the flesh, don't begin to start like, you know, questioning your salvation, questioning the call on your life. Don't be like, I thought I was Christian. Maybe I'm not saved. What is wrong with me? I thought this was in my past. I thought I dealt with this in the past. Don't condemn yourself for these struggles, okay? Because that's part of sinful nature, and we all carry part of that. But the good news is, I love Romans chapter 8, the good news. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We don't have to feel ashamed that we struggle, okay? It's not okay that we continue to sin. God's not excusing sin. He cannot. It's against his nature. He's not excusing the sin. It's not okay to continue to gratify the desires of our flesh. But when we do fall, it says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and he is just. And he will not just forgive us of our sins, but he's going to purify us from all unrighteousness. That is the promise. That is the gospel. That is our only hope that we live by. Right? And so we can't feel ashamed that we have different struggles with the flesh. Okay? For those who are in Christ Jesus, there is now, therefore, no condemnation. And if you are in Christ Jesus, you are sealed by the Spirit. He set you up. You are sealed by the Spirit. Whether you like it or not, he's going to give you freedom from the desires of the flesh. He's setting us up for freedom. Okay? Isn't that good news? Isn't that a relief, right? So how is it possible that if the Holy Spirit lives in us, that he's going to keep us free from gratifying the desires of our flesh? You know, notice in verse 16, the Apostle Paul doesn't say, don't gratify the desires of your flesh. He says, walk by the Spirit, and then you won't gratify the desires of the flesh. Because it says in verse 17, for the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. So in essence, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the Spirit, they're like two positively charged magnets. They just repel. They can't, you know, they don't like each other. They are opposed to each other. Okay? And sometimes there's that frustration. What is wrong with me? I'm a leader. I'm a pastor. I'm a Christian. What is wrong with me? Why am I dealing with these sin issues? Why am I struggling so much? I want to say that war that you're feeling, it's a good thing. It's just evidence that the Holy Spirit is living within us. Because imagine if the Holy Spirit wasn't in us, there would be no struggle. It would just be the desires of the flesh, bondage to desires of the flesh. That's all you're going to go for. But the fact that there is a struggle, we need to rejoice. Because it's saying that the Holy Spirit is residing within us. There are many examples that I can give where we feel this way. And I know I don't need to give more examples, but just to put it out there. An example of this struggle that we might go through. You know you're not supposed to look at something. And you don't want to, but you end up looking at it. You know you're supposed to live by peace. And you want to. But here I am again with this fit of anger, this road rage, this like cursing at someone and lying and cheating. You know, you don't want to do it, but you do it. And Paul sums it up in Romans 7:15. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very things that I hate. Can everyone relate with this? There's nothing new under the sun. It's a struggle that every single one of us goes through in different degrees, in different seasons, with different sin patterns, okay? So let's let go of that condemnation. Let's let go of that shame, okay? Let's understand that there is now, therefore, no condemnation in Christ Jesus. We need to aim for perfection. It says, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. We need to aim for perfection. We can't allow sin or the desires of the flesh to take over. We can't give up, okay? We have to aim for perfection. But when you aim for perfection, you can't expect for perfection. Because when you don't reach perfection, you're going to be filled with condemnation. But let's face it, we're not going to be perfect until Jesus returns and makes us perfect. Until he returns and makes us like him, okay? But until that time, the Holy Spirit is within us, sanctifying us, making us more and more like Jesus, okay? And so we need to aim for perfection, but don't expect it. When you fall, when you make mistakes, don't condemn yourself, because the Lord doesn't condemn you. He says, confess. He says, repent, and I will purify you. I will forgive you of your sins. Okay? I'm gonna attempt to give a sports analogy. Okay? Attempt, okay? I'm from Canada. My husband's from Canada. And he was telling me that in sports, oftentimes they say that the best defense is a good offense. Right? Are you from Canada?
No.
Oh, I saw a little bit of an offense right there. No, but the best defense is a good defense. For the Christian life, for the Christian walk, the best defense is the Holy Spirit. Because he's the one that's opposing the desires of the flesh, right? And so we need more of the Spirit. And in hockey, my husband was saying, it's all about puck possession. It's all about, oh, Brock's laughing. He's from Canada. It's all about puck possession. Because if you have the puck, the other team can't score. Okay? In football, too, I guess, ball possession. Revelation there, right? In football, too, I guess you can call it ball possession, right? As long as you have the ball, the other team can't score. And that's why even in football, even if you know that you're not, you can't actually get to that, the touch, get a touchdown on that. Yeah, yeah, right? You want to hold on to the ball as long as you can because the time is ticking. And it cuts down the chances of the other time, even the team scoring, right? So in the Christian life, in the Christian walk, the best thing to do is to have the Holy Spirit. That's what I wanted to get at. There you go. So the first point. Walk by the Spirit, and you will experience freedom from the desires of the flesh. I'm already on my second point, okay? Number two, walk by the Spirit, and you will experience freedom from dead religion. Okay? And this is something I really want to tackle tonight, okay? It says in verse 18, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And what Paul was meaning by saying you are not under the law, he wasn't saying that you no longer have to uphold to moral standards or to God's commandments. It wasn't about that. The law that Paul is referring to here is the heavy yoke and the righteous requirements of the law. It's the list of thou shalls and the thou shall nots. And to live by all of them in order to have right standing before God. He's saying, you're no longer under that anymore. You're no longer under that. Listen carefully here. This is what Paul says about the law. Galatians 3:10. It says that all who rely on works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them. We already acknowledged earlier that we are all weakened in the flesh, right? By sinful nature. And there was no way that any man was going to fulfill every requirement of the law. And therefore man stood cursed, stood under eternal punishment, condemned. Until, it says in Galatians 3:13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For cursed is anyone who is hung on a tree. Jesus, he took our sins upon himself. He was punished in our place, and he paid the full price for every sin, sins of the past and sins of the future, every sin possible. He's taken the penalty for us. And because of that, we are free. We are free from the punishments of the law. That's what the Apostle Paul is saying here. Okay? And the reason why this is important for us to understand is, I'll just give a little brief background of where the Apostle Paul is coming from, okay? Galatians is a letter of rebuke to the church of Galatia. Because what was happening in that region was there was a group of religious people, religious leaders called the Judaizers, okay? And they were emphasizing works, emphasizing the observance of law for right standing before God. And they were all about the do this, do this, do that. It was all about circumcision when Christ did away with circumcision, right? That's what was going on there. But the Galatians, they were buying into this teaching. And all of a sudden, even though they were free and they were set free, they were living like slaves, trying to fulfill the requirements of the law, living by the law for fear of punishment when they were already set free. Okay? It says in verse 1, just a little bit earlier, chapter 5, verse 1, it is for freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Paul is saying Christ died for you so that you don't have to work for your salvation. You don't have to work for right standing before God. You've been set free. Now live like you're free. Why are you enslaving yourself again to a life of works? A life of dead works and dead religion. Why are you doing this to yourself? It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Amen. The Christian life is not about the do's and don'ts. Okay. It's about having access now to the Holy Spirit to be able to do the things that a spirit-led life would do. It's having access to the Spirit of God. There's a big difference here again between a person who lives under dead works and dead religion and someone who walks by the Spirit. Okay. Let's say there's an announcement. It might be your best friend or might be your neighbor. There's an announcement. Yay, they're in a relationship. Congratulations. Oh, you're getting engaged. Oh, you're having a baby. Wow, you were promoted at work again. You won the lottery, you know. What a beautiful apartment. Wow. And the person who's living under dead works will think there's jealousy. There's envy. But you're not supposed to feel the jealousy. You're not supposed to feel the envy. And therefore, you're restricted by the law that says thou shalt not covet. It says thou shalt not covet. Therefore, I'm going to try not to covet it. I'm not going to be jealous. Yay. I will celebrate with them. Right? That's what that life looks like. It's enslaving. It's about restrictions, behaving a certain way because you're a Christian. You don't necessarily feel like doing that, but you do because you have to, right? But a life that is filled with the Spirit will actually feel a genuine celebration in their hearts. You're in a relationship? That's so awesome. You're engaged? Wow, let me look at that ring. Oh, beautiful. No jealousy. Wow, you got a promotion. Wow, you won the lottery. God's blessing you in this way. I pray that the Lord will continue to increase you. That's what a spirit-filled life experiences. And there's nothing restrictive about it. It's not about the law. It's not behaving a certain way because fear of punishment. Doing something you don't want to do because you think you need to do it. Because that's what a Christian does. Life by the Spirit experiences freedom from dead religion and dead works. To sum up my message, 2 points. If you walk by the Spirit, you will experience freedom from the desires of the flesh. You will experience freedom from a life where I do not want to do what I do, but I do the very thing I hate. You're going to experience freedom from that. You're going to experience transformation by the Holy Spirit, not just have self-control and resist, but to not even have the desire for the sins, for the sinful nature. You're going to have new desires. That's what the Holy Spirit will do in us. If you walk by the Spirit, you will also experience freedom from dead religion, where it's all about restriction, where it's all about, this is what a good Christian does, therefore I will do it. Instead, the Holy Spirit gives you a new desire to do those very things, and it's going to give you life. Amen? Okay, I want us all to close our eyes. You know, in preparing for this message, it was on Valentine's Day, actually. It was early in the morning. I was sitting on my couch, and I looked out the window, and I saw these heavy clouds. It was almost like I thought it was fog, but they were so up high, I knew they were clouds. They were heavy clouds, but then I saw a break in the clouds, and the sun was shining really brightly, just like there was like a little crack in the clouds. And I felt the Lord say, I want to break through. My spirit is about to break through the heavy clouds. My spirit is about to break through the heavy clouds. And tonight I want to say the Spirit wants to break through the heavy clouds, the heavy yoke of religion, the yoke of having these struggles, these bondages to sin. And the key to that freedom is the Holy Spirit. This is what Jesus says in Luke 11. He says, I tell you, ask. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? God longs to give us His Holy Spirit. He's not calling to us to a life of works, of do's and don'ts, being a good Christian, living by the rules and living by the law and feeling absolutely miserable along the way. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. And when we ask for His Holy Spirit, how much more would He want to give us His Spirit? You know, some of you in this room have been feeling especially ashamed lately or frustrated about the different struggles that you have in the flesh. You're thinking, I'm a leader. I'm a pastor. I shouldn't be dealing with this. I know better. I know what the Bible tells me. Why am I still struggling with this? And to you, God is saying tonight, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Walk by my Spirit, and I will give you new desires. Where it's not just going to be this outside battle of, I shouldn't, I can't, but I did. I'm sorry. Guilt, shame, condemnation. He's saying, walk by my Spirit, and I'll give you new desires. There are others in this room who have been doing all the right things. You're reading your Bible. You're having your quiet times. You're going to Friday Fire, Sunday Swim, Joint Prayer Meeting, all the prayer meetings. You're attending your small group, your CGs, your familias. You're even serving and leading them. You're doing everything right. You're tithing and giving generously. You're submitting to your leaders. But at one point on this journey, the very things that were once life-giving began to feel burdensome and began to feel like an obligation. But still, some of you have been pushing through because that's what a good Christian does, right? That's what a leader does. That's what a pastor does, right? But internally, you're so unhappy with the Christian life. You're so unhappy. You feel so trapped. And there's a growing urge inside of you that wants to just drop everything and just leave. You're saying, this is so hard. I can't take this anymore. Here's some insight for you tonight. The reason why you want to walk away from some of those things that were once life-giving, it's not because those things have changed and they're not good enough for you. It's because there's a desire in you for freedom. There's a desire in each and every one of us for freedom. And all these things that were once life-giving, and you know they're supposed to still be life-giving. They haven't been. And so you feel burdened. You feel almost guilty. You feel miserable. And some of you even started despising your calling. The calling in your life. It's so heavy, God. I don't want it. I thought I wanted it, but I don't want it. It's so heavy. But the answer isn't to push through and just trek through. And the answer isn't to drop everything and leave. The answer is the Holy Spirit. The answer is the Holy Spirit breaking through and giving you freedom from dead works and dead religion. To those of you who have been feeling this way, it is for freedom that Christ has set you free. It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. He says, walk by my Spirit and you shall live. Walk by my Spirit and you shall be filled with joy in the calling. You know, the yoke that we carry as Christians is not non-existent, But Jesus says his yoke is easy and his burden is light. These heavy yokes of religion, they're not for us. They're not for you and me. They're not for us. And God wants to break through tonight by his Spirit. And just one more thing for those who have made 10-year commitments. The Spirit led you to make this commitment. And as long as you continue to walk by the Spirit, he will empower you to follow through, not just with a commitment, but he'll empower you to find life, joy, freedom the entire way. The Spirit did not call you to 10 years of sacrifice and misery and burnout. He's called you to 10 years of glorious freedom and kingdom partnership, you guys. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Let's not fool ourselves. We are all in desperate need of the Holy Spirit. Doesn't matter if you're a guest or a leader. We all need more of the Holy Spirit. And how much more if we ask for the Holy Spirit, will the Heavenly Father give us the Spirit? And so tonight, that's what we're going to do. In response to this message, we're going to ask for the Holy Spirit, okay? And so if there's anything from this message that you felt the Spirit was tugging on your heart, I want you to